collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Last week we were away with family, wrapping up Christmas celebrations, and it's great to be able to have Evan Coons, our intern, share in the pulpit last week. And, you know, it's a great thing that Salt Creek does as a church and as a family, as a community, in raising up young men to serve and to go out from this place. There is a faithful legacy of this church, sending missionaries out and sending pastors out from here that have been discipled and raised up and trained through this congregation. We actually have with us a gentleman who is one of those who was sent out a number of years ago and has been faithfully serving the Lord and is currently teaching at Simpson College in Northern California. And was back with us this weekend because of the sudden passing of his wife. And yesterday, the family laid her to rest out here at Salt Creek Cemetery. But we have opportunity for just to receive some greetings from Dan Berger, who grew up in this church. So, Dan, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Many of you don't know me. I started attending here in 1958. This is the new sanctuary, by the way. I was baptized here in 1965. I was married here in 1977. I actually was a pastor here for a couple months in between pastors and started learning how to preach. You ordained me in 1981 for the gospel, and I have been a missionary and a pastor, and now I'm teaching others to preach. And I want to say thank you for the part that you have played in my life. Mabel played for our wedding back in 1977 and for my wife's funeral service yesterday. I learned something this summer. On June 13th, my wife of 42 years was diagnosed with cardiac intimal sarcoma, the 11th person in the world to have that. They had no idea how to treat it, so she was a guinea pig for others. On August 5th, we were in the hospital basement, and they were injecting drugs into her body. And I have known for many years that I would give my life for her. But at that moment, every part of me, my spirit, my soul, and my body, longed to take her place, to take the disease in me, to take the pain in me, and to face the death that we knew was coming. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it was almost like he was laughing. And he said, "Now you know love. I loved you that much before the world was founded. Christ loved you that much while you were still an enemy. It took you 42 years to get that way with one person that you love. Now you understand the kind of love, but not yet the extent. Understand God's love, for he loved you and I so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and rose again. I could not take Glenda's place, but Jesus did take my place." Thank you.
What is going to happen And so as we thought about that, I felt like God was saying there is a series of messages for the church in that. And so I began to pray through that and came to a conclusion of thinking about how we all have an idea of how we think life is going to work. And then there are times where life does not go the way that we think it's going to go. When we're young and we vision our life and the script that we have for life. Everything just is not working the way it's supposed to work today. I'm not getting anything here on this end, Lynn. I am not sure why. That's the slide we want to be on. So we're titling this series Rogue, When Life Goes Off Script. And as I prayed through this, the first thing that came to mind is the loss far before we think it should happen, with no idea of what was happening in Dan's family and how timing of that would happen. And so I trust that today will minister to you, brother. I know many of you, as I've heard the stories and the things that you've been through, our church and the families within our church are no stranger to loss, and difficult loss at that. Many of you have been through much of that. And today we're going to be thinking about how do we come to God for that comfort, for that peace, when we experience that loss of a loved one. It is always difficult when someone that we care for, someone that we know, dies. But there are those losses of a child, that is a little bit heavier than some other ones. And 2 weeks ago, as I was thinking about this, I thought of how 2 weeks ago when I was up here waxing eloquently about the day of Epiphany and the wise men and what we were talking about that day. And I looked out as I was talking about things my parents didn't teach me. My parents were here. And I thought about my parents this week as I thought on this topic. Because those of you who have had a chance to meet them wouldn't know this. But in their 61-plus years of marriage, they've experienced the death of two children. One was 2 years old and another one was a stillborn. And as I think about this message, you know, I think of them. And these were things that happened before I was ever born, as I was born rather late in life to my parents. And all of our families have been affected. We've all lost somebody. And maybe your family has experienced one of those losses where we find ourselves saying it was way before their time. It was just too soon. And these are the things that we often say in these moments. And so today, we're going to turn to the scriptures to find that comfort, that peace of how God works in these. And not just that, but how he uses us and how we can come alongside when life goes off script. There's many ways that life goes off script, but I don't think there's any that's more difficult than this one. And so we're beginning with a very heavy, heavy message in this series. So before we get into some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at today as we think through this, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would remind us of your goodness, of the gift that life is. Lord, that you would extend comfort and peace to those that are currently grieving a loss. And God, that our hearts would be open to receive what it is that you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin with the question that people often ask in this. And that question is why? Why does death have to happen? And the scriptures address this. And we are not left without answers on this. And so the first answer that we see in the scriptures on this question is that our time is limited. And the Bible tells us this, that our time in this life is limited. In Job 14:5, we read where Job declares to the Lord, "You have decided the length of our days," or our lives. "You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer." God has established those things for us. There is a limit on that for each of us in this life. All of our days are numbered, and we do not know how many. Of course, when we are young, we think we're indestructible, right? We're invincible. We're young. Nothing can happen to us. We take risks. We drive too fast. We jump off of waterfalls, all kinds of crazy things that we do. And I've heard some of your stories, and yeah, I know. We were talking about some of that at the deacon retreat this weekend. But the reality is we do not know the number of our days. Nobody but the Lord knows that. We assume that we will have many, many days and that we will grow to see our grandchildren or maybe even great-grandchildren. But we know that doesn't happen for everyone. And we have to keep in mind that every life, every day of every life is a precious gift. No one knows the number of days that we will have or that our loved ones will have. And the second thing on this, when we think about the why, is because of sin. Sin has consequences for this life. We, in all of it, all of creation, every life is marred and affected by sin. Romans 5:12 tells us this, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man," referring to Adam there, "and death through sin, in this way, death spread to all people because all sinned." So we all are touched by death that comes because of sin. Now, we were created not for death. We were created for life. Adam and Eve were not created for death. They were created for life with God. But the death that they experienced and that every person to this point has experienced is a consequence of the sin that has taken place and the sin that entered into creation because of the decisions that Adam and Eve made and that each one of us has subsequently made in our own lives. Now, we have hope in Jesus for eternal life because Jesus came to pay the penalty for the spiritual death that sin brings. But that payment does not remove the physical end to this life that our loved ones have experienced. But because of Jesus, we have the promise of the resurrection and the eternal life through faith in him. So we know from Scripture our time is limited. We know that. And we know that sin has resulted in consequences for us. The next question that we often wonder is, so what does this mean now when we lose someone? What does it mean now? Well, very simply, the first thing that it means is that it's time to say goodbye. See, not only has God determined the number of days we have in life, he has also determined that we only experience this physical life one time. There are some notable exceptions, of course, in the scriptures, such as Jesus, whom Lazarus raised from the dead. But we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, where the scriptures tell us, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So we understand in our Christian faith, and what God's word gives to us is an understanding that this life is precious, and we have one life in this physical life that we live. And so because of sin, this physical life, it is a temporary thing. There is an eternal life beyond, but we do not go through this life again. Now, there are other religions in the world, other cultures in the world, other philosophies in the world that would disagree with that. They teach something else. The ideas of reincarnation and karma, those are not in the scriptures. Those are not part of our Christian faith. They've become rather trendy today, even in America, as people have been more open to other religions and Eastern religions and Eastern philosophy. And you hear people throw around the term karma very casually when something bad happens to someone. But karma literally means that it's happening bad because of what you did in a previous life. It's dependent upon reincarnation. And scriptures are very clear. That is not part of our faith. In addition to that, the Catholic idea of purgatory isn't found in the scriptures. It was a doctrine that was developed outside of the scriptures in the Catholic Church. And I've known some dear friends and family members that are Catholic that are praying for their loved one that has passed away. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't pray for those that have already died. We pray for those who are still here and are grieving. That's who needs our prayers. For the believer that has already passed away, they are with the Lord. They don't need our prayers. They have it far better than we do. We are the ones who need the prayers in that. Sometimes I have sat down with a number of families that where some of that Catholic theology and idea of purgatory, of kind of a this in-between place that you can pray someone out of purgatory into. And so this idea of praying for the one who has already died. And I'll have people in my office prior to a funeral, and they will talk about, well, praying for the person that has already died. And it's not because they're Catholic. It's because the influence of that. And so I share that so that it's clear for us that they are already for those that know the Lord, they are already with the Lord in that. So it's a time to say goodbye. And we'll talk more about that process in a minute. But it's also a time to mourn. It is a time to mourn. One of the worst things that we can do when we're with someone who is experiencing grief in the loss of a loved one, is to say something to the point of telling them, well, you shouldn't be grieving because they're with the Lord. It should be a joyous thing. They're with the Lord. They're in heaven. And as well-intentioned as we are in reminding them of the hope of the gospel, the scriptures actually give us a different instruction when it comes to that. In fact, we should do the exact opposite of telling somebody, don't grieve. We should actually enter into their grief with them. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, what Wes read earlier for us, the scriptures tell us there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I mean, right there in the Word of God, we are told there is a time to mourn. There is a time to weep. We experience a loss in that. And it is an appropriate thing to grieve and to weep in that. In addition to that, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 15, gives us the instruction that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and we are to weep with those who weep. And so when our friends, when another family in our church, when our neighbors have lost someone and they are grieving, our command is not to give them a cliche statement, but our command is actually to enter in and weep with them. Now, not to pretend that it is as severe or significant of a loss or as difficult as a loss as we are, to not be disingenuous in entering into that grief, but to enter into that with them. And it may be as simple as just your presence and sitting with them. There's often not much that can be said in those times. I remember the first funeral that I had right out of seminary. We had gone to help pastor the church in Eastern Oregon. And a teenage girl was killed in a car accident. And it was one of those kind of late night, middle of the night phone calls. And there's a lot of extra detail I won't get into, but I found myself sitting in the living room with this family. One of our elders and I were sitting there and struggling to find things to say, because there's not a lot to say in that moment. But your presence, being with them, entering into that with someone, means more than words can say in that, to just be present with them. There's a few other things for us to think about or wrestle with, and of things that we sometimes say, or sometimes I heard said, and maybe you've said these. And so I'm taking this opportunity now to encourage you to avoid saying things like this in those moments when life goes horribly wrong for someone. I've heard people say something like, well, God just needed another angel in heaven. So that's a wrong understanding of theology. So we don't become angels in heaven. You'll see that all over pop culture. You'll hear it in songs. You'll see it in TV shows. You'll see it in movies. This idea that people become angels once they go to heaven, that's not in the scriptures. The scriptures say we are actually far greater than angels. Angels are not made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. And not just that we will actually rule over angels in our eternal life. But it's one of those things that gets said in our culture. But it represents a wrong understanding of eternal life, because we don't become angels. Or often when a child is lost, you'll hear something like, well, God wants children in heaven. And that's why we lose children. So we don't know what age we will be. The Bible does not tell us that. That detail is not given to us. And so we need to be very careful saying these things that we're trying to help. We're trying to give them something to ease the pain that we know that they're experiencing. But we need to be very careful with lines like that. Because often they're not helpful, and they're not necessarily even true, some of those things that we find ourselves saying. So even when we know that their loved one is in heaven, even when we have that confidence and we have that hope, we need to be careful about not counseling them on trying to avoid grieving. It always hurts. There's always a hurt when there is a loss. Because we go back to, what is the original plan? God made us for eternal relationship with Him. The death that happens, the loss that we experience, is because of the sin. It's not part of the original plan. That's why it hurts. That's why it's such a deep, aching loss, is we were not designed for this. We were designed for eternal relationship with God. It's only because of sin that we go through this, and this is why it hurts so much. Now, how do we life move forward? And we feel it was not their time. How do we move forward? Well, it's not possible to move forward in life until we go through the steps or the stages of grief. And there is no timetable for these steps. It is different for everyone. And that's difficult when you see someone going through it on their timeline and you think their timeline should be different. often we just need to stay quiet in that and just support them and be with them and know that they're working through it on their timeline, because your timeline's different. There is no right timeline on it. And let me say this, if you or a loved one feel like you are struggling with this step, maybe there's been a recent loss in your family, or any of these steps we're going to talk about, seeking the help of a counselor or a grief support group is a good idea. There is no shame in seeking help. These are heavy, difficult things that we go through in life, and there is help there. Whether you're finding that help within your family or in your friends or in your church, sometimes we also need to find that help with professionals. And there are good Christian counselors that we know that we can help connect you with if that is where you are at today. So four things on moving through this process. And I leaned heavily on some stuff from our good friends at Focus on the Family and the good work that they do. And so these steps I'm sharing is heavily dependent upon what I read from Focus on the Family. So the first thing is that we have to come to the point where we can accept the loss, where we can accept the loss. First, we must accept that our loved one is not with us anymore. But because of our faith in Jesus, we know that that death, that loss is not the end of the story. Remember, we are made for eternity. And Wes read the passage in Ecclesiastes earlier, and the final verse, the closing verse in that section says, "He has made everything appropriate in its time, and he has also put eternity in their hearts," referring to us, his creation. There is eternity in our hearts, but no one can discover the work that God has done from the beginning of the end. So we do not know the timelines. There are things about that that we do not know, but that seeking that eternity with God is in our hearts. And so we crave that, to be with him. And then we're reminded of the work that God is doing in the life to come. And in Revelation 21:4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. No more grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." So all of this that we experience in this life because of sin, God is going to do away with sin and death. And those who have put their faith in Christ look forward to an eternal life without those things. Thanks be to God in that. And so what we have to look forward to is far greater than what we are experiencing today. And so as we work towards accepting the loss, we're reminded that it is not the end for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the second thing that we need to remember is we have to experience the pain. See, many people will try to avoid the pain of the loss by bottling up their emotions or rejecting the feelings that they're having. They may try to take shortcuts through this grieving process, not admitting to the feelings of anger or denial. However, the only way to move through the grief is to just do that, to actually move through it. It is impossible to escape the pain associated with mourning. When we look at the scriptures and we read about Jesus' life and the people that he loved, that he grew close to, we come across the story of his friend Lazarus who died. And Jesus delayed in coming to Lazarus, and he died before Jesus got there. And when you read, you'll see that Jesus himself, the Son of God, the incarnate Word of God, perfect in every way, wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. He experienced the emotion and he wept. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I am not any stronger than Jesus. And yet sometimes we think our tears are misguided somehow. Listen, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. And yet he was overcome with emotion and he wept. Because experiencing that loss, the pain of that loss hurts. And we need to allow ourselves to grieve. I am learning
I'll speak a little bit here to the men in the house. Not that it's only a masculine thing, but I am learning myself as a man, I do not do emotions very well. And I have not been taught how to do emotions very well. And so the challenge for us as men, you may be like me in that you struggle to do emotions and to show emotions because you want to be like John Wayne and he never showed emotion, right? Can I get an amen? That's we think John Wayne, right? But when we are grieving, we have to go through those emotions. Jesus did. And I don't know about you, but like I said, I'm not any better than Jesus. Maybe you think you are. And maybe Jesus was weak because he cried. But we need to experience that pain. And it is okay. It is good, more than okay, it is good. It is necessary for us to do that. So we experience the pain as we work through that. Thirdly, after some time, we begin adjusting to a new normal. Life is now going to be different. And depending on the nature of the loss, it may be extremely different. The loss creates a hole, and sometimes that hole is in very practical ways. Sometimes we have to learn doing some new things around the house. Sometimes we have to learn to now be the one who is balancing the budget or to be the one who is doing some maintenance, whatever it might be, or learning to cook, whatever it might be because of the loss. It is a new normal, but it is an adjustment, and it takes work and it takes effort to do that. And then lastly, we can begin to reinvest in new relationships. See, the goal in moving forward, and often we struggle with this, and it's normal to struggle with it, but let's just say here, the goal in moving forward is not to forget the person who has died, but to finally reach the point where you can without experiencing disabling grief, that you can be reminded and it does not ruin your day. And it doesn't disable your emotions. And so it's at that point when we are able to do that, when we've reached that point, where we can then begin to invest in new relationships, new opportunities, new friendships, new people that we meet. Now again, the timeline on that, there is no timeline for it. But it is where we want to be able to get, where we can be open to new relationships in life. Recently, we watched, that we watched this movie. I can say that now. It was last year. We watched the movie Breakthrough. I don't know how many of you saw that movie, Breakthrough. A wonderful movie. A movie that shares the hope of Jesus. And it was a great, great movie. The movie was about, those of you who are not familiar with it, it was about a teenage boy who fell through the ice and drowned. And doctors at the hospital determined that his life was over, that he had died. And they had pronounced that and were rather certain of it. And as the mother prayed by his side, he makes a recovery. And slowly but surely, he makes a full recovery. And it's a remarkable thing. But the story didn't end there, which I found really fascinating. Because they dealt with some things in the emotions of it all. And I was really caught off guard by this. But following his recovery, there's a scene where he is back at his school. And he attended a private Christian school. The family was in the St. Louis area. And he attended a private Christian school. And there was a teacher after class who asked him, why is it that her spouse ended up dying from the cancer that he had? But that this young man was saved, and he got to live. Oh, what a heavy, heavy question. And caught off guard, of course, this teenage boy did not have an answer. And to be honest, there are not satisfying answers as to why there is a healing in one and not in another. See, if we live as though God owes us a certain number of days or years, death will always seem unfair. But when we can remember, life is a gift, that every day is a gift, and that God does not actually owe us anything, but he gives us mercy and grace, and each breath as a gift, the breath, the very breath of life that is a gift from God. And when we can remember that and think of life from that standpoint, we can then return in each day in worship and thanksgiving to God for the gift of life, the gift of a new day, the gift of the relationships that we have in life. So where do we go from here in this? When life goes off script, how do we do this? Here's what we remember. We remember that today is a gift. It is so easy to forget that, isn't it? Today is a gift. And guess what? Tomorrow is. If we receive a tomorrow, it is also a gift, a wonderful, beautiful gift from the Lord. And the people in our lives, the people that maybe you're sitting with today, the people that may be at home, the people that you're going to call later today, they are a gift as well. James 1:17, I'll close with this thought. Every good and perfect gift, as we think about these gifts, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And if we can remember that all of it is a wonderful, beautiful gift from God, when it goes off script, maybe, just maybe, we can work through it a little bit better and through these things. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And the confidence that we have that because of Jesus, when this life is over, it is not the end. But there is so much greater things that you have in store for us. Our eternal life with you, our Heavenly Father, where there is no more death, no more sorrow, no more grieving, no more sadness. Because you will do away with sin and death. God, help us as we work through these things, when life goes off script, when life, the unexpected, the tragic happens, and we don't know what to do. God, may we be there for one another. May we be there for our loved ones. May we lean together on you. Because, Lord, sometimes you are all that we have, but you are enough, and we thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.